Hello there, and welcome to Woman of Grit, a podcast that holds space for women to have authentic conversations about our intersectional challenges and where we elevate women's voices, celebrate their strengths, and honor their resilience. I'm your host, Dr. Ann, the Gritpreneur and Woman of Grit. Come on in. We saved a seat at the table for you.
Today, I'm joined by a phenomenal woman who is not only an entrepreneur, but has been recognized as an influential businesswoman, answered her calling on stage, helping people discover how to become the entrepreneurs of their own lives by teaching them how to show up not only for themselves, but also for others, their families, and for everything that they do. Let's meet our guest, Sajal Lakhani Bhatt, a woman of grit. Welcome to Woman of Grit podcast, Sajal. It's an absolute pleasure having you here with us today.
The pleasure's all mine. Thank you so much for having me.
And this conversation has been on the books for a little while now, and I cannot wait to dive right in. So this is the Woman of Grit podcast, of course. We have to talk about grit, which is defined by Dr. Angela Lee Duckworth as passion and perseverance for meaningful long-term goals despite obstacles and setbacks. And I'm going to set you up right now. If you could choose only one, passion or perseverance, not both, which would you choose and why? There's no right answer.
No, you know, it's such a mixture, and you just started with the hardest question, but it's okay. I'll give it to you. Perseverance.
Yeah.
Perseverance. And why? Because I think a lot of us that are entrepreneurs have the passion, and that's why we do it. But to do it and fail and get up and fail and get up and fail, and the toll it takes on your life, your family's life, everybody around you's lives, and to do it again and again, knowing that you are going to probably fail again, that to me is grit.
Absolutely. So clearly, you know, in this day and age of social media, we see the success. We see maybe the 100th time. A lot of times people do not show the 99 times before. And sometimes we get so caught up in the success that we don't remember that that's is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, there is a whole lot of stuff that went in before you see that success. Even with simple things like videos, you know, people maybe skateboarding or whatever, they do a trick many times and eventually they hit it. And that's what they post on social media, not all the failures before. So let's talk more about your background. You're an entrepreneur, like I already said. You currently own and run two IT companies, TechWorks and CloudWorks. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. You did not start off in IT. Can you share more about your background in the financial world and your transition into the IT world?
Yeah. So I actually, Dr. Ann, I have a couple other companies. I have a real estate investment agency and a liquor store. So there are a couple more companies in there. So my background, I graduated college for legal studies, ended up doing something totally different, ended up on the trading floor for, I think, 13 or 14 years. I worked through Merrill Lynch, then Deutsche Bank, then Morgan Stanley. I was on the floors and I did projects. I worked around the world. I lived in London, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Singapore. I've done a lot of different things. And one day I decided that, you know, I'd had two children already. And my older one was 3, my younger one was like 1.5. And I was like, I am exhausted. I'm like climbing this corporate ladder. I don't know where I'm going. I was one of the youngest directors. I was just climbing. And I was done. So I quit my job. And I was going to be that awesome stay-at-home mom. I wanted to like yoga in the morning and like Nordstrom lunches and pick up tennis and like have all this fun. And 3 months into it, I was done. I needed to do something. It's just who I am. And I needed to get away from the kids because that is what they needed. And so my husband started this amazing company in 2008, when you think about somebody like a true IT person that just brilliant, just absolutely brilliant, could make anything work. You could say anything and he would make it work.
Right.
And so he's like, hey, why don't you just work with me a little bit, do a little project management, do a little bit of this. So in 2013, I started dabbling a little. Then I was like, oh, I think I can do a little more of this. And I did a little more of that. And then it was like, I could do more operations. I did more of that. And I was like, I could do some sales. And I did more of that. In 2015, I took over as CEO. And I managed sales, marketing, operations completely for TechWorks. On top of that, he managed finances and technology. And then we had started to build our own cloud. And I took that company and separated that company in 2022, I want to say last year, and made a small company called CloudWorks.
Nice. I mean, and then that's just the two, TechWorks and CloudWorks. Not to talk about the others, you just dropped on me, the real estate, the liquor stores. So I don't know where you find the time. You have worked hard and enjoy well-deserved successes as an entrepreneur. What valuable advice would you offer to young entrepreneurs who are just starting their journey?
You know, I think there are a couple things. One is we always want to do everything perfectly. We are always consistently saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to launch it. I'm not going to get it out there. So it's perfect, perfect, perfect. If we wait for perfect, you're never going to get that out there. It's a moving target. Perfect is a moving target. The second thing is fail, but fail forward, right? Fail and realize what you did wrong, but don't fail stupid, which means learn from others. We don't need to recreate every single wheel. Learn from others and don't make those same mistakes. Make different ones so other people can learn from you.
Right.
And one of the things that I did that I thought was really, really helpful to me is I developed an amazing network. My circle of trust and my network is second to none. I can put it up against anybody. I have people that I call on for work, for home. I have people I call if I have a flat tire. So I think building that relationship, building that network and finding your core group of people, and that could be different core groups for different things. But building that relationship and having that network was instrumental for me.
So building a network. And, you know, that is so true. You know, just having a village. I got divorced back in 2016. And I started pretty much raising my son by myself. And I know I would not be where I am today if I had not surrounded myself with a network of women. For me, a lot were women because, you know, picking up our kids from school, carpooling. I mean, I had a friend who worked in DC and, you know, I told her, I said, just call me whenever, call me. You know, my schedule is more flexible than yours. Call me if you need me. And one day she was stuck in traffic coming to Maryland from DC. And she's like, I am not too far, but she was far enough that the aftercare would have been closed by the time she got there. Girl, don't worry about it. I got you. And I took her son, we're each other's emergency contacts, and I had both boys in the car. Guess she wasn't far off. And I learned so much about what elementary school boys talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking, sitting in the back of the car. They were ratting each other out. Who likes who? I'm like, I was cracking
this
up.
This is great.
So, yes. I was cracking up. And she met me in the parking lot and I handed over her kid. And, you know, those are lifelong friends.
It makes a full difference. I don't know. I think it's in the bio. I don't know if you know, but my husband passed away in 2019.
Right.
And so... So the village is the only reason my kids are thriving. And I do have men and women. I have an amazing group of women. I have amazing men. But I mean, everything from like in school at that time, I was trying to rebuild the business. And, you know, my girlfriend's like, look, they have a math test tomorrow. I'm going to grab your son and we'll study at my house. Or, hey, you know what? You seem busy. I'm going to grab him and give him a snack. Even those little things, forget the big ones. I've had my village hire my right-hand man. I've had them man my help desk for me. I've had my village get clients for me, have meetings for me, drive me to places. I mean, I'm not talking about those big things. I'm talking about the little
right.
things. It's a life changer.
And the things that really can make or break you. The little things that can make or break you.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So that would be my advice to entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that is so important. And, you know, when you were talking, I heard something which I think is so critical that you didn't even have to ask.
Yeah.
They knew that, hey, you know, give her some time to do this. We'll take the kid. We'll watch him for you. We'll help him study for the exam. And, you know, that is just priceless.
It's priceless.
So, yes. As a woman in a male-dominated industry, how have you overcome the invariable intersectional challenges, you know, to achieve what you've achieved as an entrepreneur? So that intersection between being a woman in a male-dominated field, but then also intersects with you being a mother. So you had a village that helped you. So what are some of the other things that, you know, and I think maybe this may even be more relevant to your time on maybe the floor.
Yeah. You know, the trading floor.
Floors.
So I will say one thing. I've never looked at the whole male-woman dynamics. When I want something, I go after it. I know there is definitely a double standard, right? There are words for women that you don't use for men. There are things that if a woman does, it's not quite right. But if a man does it. I've always been outspoken. I've always been aggressive. And I don't believe in the ceiling. When I worked at Deutsche Bank, I was promoted 2 times. And this was, mind you, in 2008, 2009. So it was not post-COVID, right? This is way before working from home days. And working from home at a bank was almost unheard of.
Yes.
And after I had my first son, I went to my manager and I said, I really need to work from home 2 days a week. And I worked from home the entire 5 or 6 years I was at Deutsche Bank, 2 days a week, and I got promoted twice.
Wow.
So my thing is, work hard. You're not, you know, the biggest thing for women is we're always working against each other. We want to compete against each other.
Right.
Men work together. Stop putting the crown on the other woman's head without asking for thanks, right? My biggest thing is be the voice for a woman or a voice for anyone when they're not in the room. We can all stick up for people when they're in front of us, but let's stick up for them when they're not in the room. If we learn to work together, we will get better. So now you're talking about these challenges. And there were many. There were men that didn't like I was there. I can't curse on your show, so I'll say F them. Didn't care.
F them.
I went through it. I went to my bosses when I wanted a raise. I went to my bosses and I never said, so-and-so got this and so-and-so got this. I said, I deserve this because this is what I did. And without me, you couldn't do this.
Right.
When it comes to a lot of women say, oh, these guys, they go out, they play golf. They never invite me. Did you ever ask?
Yes.
Did you ever ask? Did you ever go and say, hey, listen, you guys went out last night. I heard you had a blast. Next one, I'm in. Granted, yes, I had 2 kids at home. I had one of the most supportive husbands you could ever have. And so he was just incredible. So you need a support system. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to have it with your husband, you need your family, you need friends.
Right.
Village we just talked about. There was a lot of that. Even in my technology industry, I say use our, and I'm going to say it in quotes, weaknesses, our emotional senses, our ability to cry at a drop of a hat. Use those for our strengths.
Right.
The fact that we're emotional helps us connect with people.
Our superpowers.
Right? Those are our superpowers.
Yeah.
Everyone used to view them as negative. Make them a positive. Use them for yourself as a positive, right? Our aggressiveness is our persistence. My emotional is my ability to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you have a problem with that, I don't really care.
Right. That's your problem.
That seems to be a you issue. That's not me.
Yes.
I can't control how you think, but I can control what I do and how I think.
Right. Something comes to mind I see on social media a lot. It's a meme. It says, am I intimidating or are you intimidated?
You know? Exactly. Exactly.
I am who I am.
My personality is me. My attitude is because of you. My personality is because of me. Mm-hmm. So I think we are all going to have challenges. I think men have challenges. I think Black men have challenges that white men don't. I think white men have challenges that Black men don't. I think right. Indians have different challenges. We all have challenges. If we're going to keep saying, I'm not moving because of the glass ceiling, I'm not right. moving because I'm a woman, you didn't give me the permission right. to be a woman. Everyone can say something. I'm not moving because I'm disabled. I'm not moving because I'm a veteran. And so I would say, forget that these are limiting. Look at what we have and figure out how we can keep pushing that forward. And we all get to doors that are closed and we try to break them down. And some will right. break down and some won't. Move to the next door. Don't waste your time and effort on something that is not worth it.
Right. I hear this woman of grit coming through and I'm thinking, where does it begin? Like, child, you know, having a supportive husband cannot be underestimated, honestly, because having an unsupportive husband, which I'm very familiar with, it's like two people rowing in yeah. completely opposite directions. But I get the sense that person who you are, go-getter, started way earlier than that. So can you talk yeah. about the foundation, where it all started from?
It's my parents. You know, in the Indian culture, to have a firstborn as a girl is not a good thing. You need the firstborn to be a boy. You need that name to carry on. You need the tradition to carry on. And my father celebrated as much, if not more, when they had me. Every party that you would normally have for a firstborn boy, he had for me. Every celebration, the amount of money, that everything was the same. And my father was an entrepreneur. And from day one, they treated me the same way. I don't think I ever had a conversation where it was like, well, if you'd been a boy, you could. I mean, right. my dad's an engineer. He expected me to take over his engineering firm. He was not happy when I didn't, right? My sister's a doctor. There were no limitations in my house. My family was not traditional in that sense. My mother was very open. We talked about a lot of things. So my parents were the ultimate from the beginning. It was always like, I was always aggressive. I was always doing that. And my parents were always pushing me. Always, go ahead. If you want it, go do it. If you want to get it, go do it. There were never any no's. Like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. It was more like, why do you think you can't do that? You want to be a lawyer? Do it.
Right.
You want to be this? Do it. You want to start a business? Do it. And it's really that, right? I think your foundation is what starts at what you see at home, what you see in your family. And then when you start having that, you tend to gravitate towards people that are like that.
Right.
So my entire friend circles became very supportive of everything. And now my circles of trust right now are the same way. So when my husband passed away, there was never a doubt. Nobody ever sat there and said, well, no, I lied. Some people did sit there and say, oh my God, you can't do it. But those people aren't in my circle. My right. circle, but you got this. You got it. I have zero IT background. Zero. And I run a very successful IT company. One of the top 100 cybersecurity companies in the nation and the top cybersecurity company in New Jersey. And it's because I am surrounded by people that just said, you can do it. And whatever you can't do, talk to us and we can help you. Reach right. out. Use that network. So yeah, I think the grit started from the beginning and then you just gravitate towards those people that are just as awesome.
Well, you know, that really sounds very familiar because my mom, oh my gosh, she was a powerhouse. And my dad supported her. And I grew up in a household. I was one of two daughters among four boys. And I grew up not really recognizing that outside the walls of our home, women were not supposed to do certain things. Just that's the way I grew up.
Right.
And so imagine my surprise when I got into the world as I got older. I didn't even recognize some of these aggressions. Because I'm so oblivious to some of these, you know, behaviors that just because that's not how I grew up. So
exactly. Is that what we're familiar with?
Yes, absolutely. And so it's really critical for parents because they are that foundation. They are there during your formative years. And I think it shows. I think it absolutely shows that that is the kind of household you're from. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So life has not been a bed of roses for you. I mean, there have been some thorns along the way. The loss of your husband, leaving you to not only raise your sons, but to run the businesses. I cannot imagine how you did it other than to say you're truly a woman of grit. But you kind of explained, you know, your network, your village rallied around you. Is there anything else that kept you going? And are there any insights that you can share with our listeners on dealing with adversity?
So I get that question a lot, and I'm sure you know that. So one is the kids, right? I think the kids keep you going.
Right.
The want to keep the lifestyle you have, the want to not give up on anything, the want to not show failure across the board, the want to make sure that your kids are living the same as before and after, even though it's not, right? So that's part of it. Another piece for me was, we talked about network and relationship, but
right.
What we didn't talk about is cutting people out.
Absolutely.
So, you know, for me, one of the biggest things is, as I progressed on my journey, the way I needed to progress on my journey, doing the things I needed to do, people had judgment. And if that judgment started to affect me, those people were cut out completely.
Yes.
And so I think one of the big things that, you know, when you're dealing with adversity is, we all grow and we change. And I read this quote somewhere. As you change, some people will appreciate you for growing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Others will be jealous. Others absolutely not understand. Right. And I think one of the biggest things that I found out is, instead of dealing with those negative vibes, that negative energy, just cut them out. A second thing for me was to accept not being in control. I started to, you know, something so big happened that was so out of my control that I needed everything to sort of, I was trying to like grasp hold of everything. And I realized I needed to let the little things go. The kids don't go to school one day, they don't go. They're late for school, I don't care. Dishes in the sink, no big deal, right? We miss a meeting, it happens. Let's figure it out, right? And to really focus on the bigger things. And the third one for me is being vulnerable. I was okay asking for help. I realized that I needed to go out and ask for help and not be like, oh my gosh, I'm superwoman. I'm everything.
Right.
I'm the smartest. I'm the best. Not go down that road and say, I need help. And not be ashamed of who I would ask people for help that were, beginning in entrepreneurship, people that were veterans. I'd ask younger people for help, older people for help. Doesn't matter. Everyone has their place in your life.
Right.
And so that helped me overcome a lot of what I needed to overcome. I needed the help. And I needed to be okay needing the help.
Asking for help, that is so important. I think sometimes we want to do everything and we can't. I mean, literally, we have to get ask for help. So that is really critical. So I'll pivot a little bit. While on stage, you empower others to become entrepreneurs of their own lives. I like that. But what do you mean to become an entrepreneur of one's own life? And could you expand on how you teach people to show up for themselves, for others, and for everything they do? I really like that, helping people show up for themselves.
I think it's important that people, when we talk about entrepreneurship, we talk about building businesses. We talk about growing businesses. We talk about money. We're talking about financials. We're talking about revenue. Being an entrepreneur is really about designing your life. It's about understanding what your goals are. And I'm not just talking, I want to make a million. I want to make 20 million. I want to make a billion. It's, I want to spend 2 weeks a year going on vacation with my kids. I want my kids to spend 4 hours a week talking to my parents. I want to spend 10 hours a month helping friends in need. I want to do 2 big good deeds a year. It is really designing where you want your life to go. So you need to figure out what that end goal is And the end goal doesn't need to be the end of your life. The end goal could be 3 years from now. It could be right. 5 years from now. And then you redo, right? We change. We change every day. Our goals change every day.
Right.
So having that and then going through and figuring out, what do we need to do to achieve that, right? Do I need my own business? Can I travel? Do I need a business that's more mobile? Do I need to move closer to my family? Do I need to hire more people? Do I need to fire everyone? Do I need to learn more? Do I need to take guitar lessons? It's really understanding that. And once you get down to that level, it's utilizing what I just said before. It's how do we do that through accepting not being in control? How do we do that through not judging others and being okay with being judged and not caring, right?
Right.
How do we do that while accepting responsibility and being vulnerable? And how
right.
do we do that through gratitude?
Mm-hmm.
And if we can learn those four pieces, being vulnerable and trusting others, accepting not being in control, not judging and not caring about being judged by others, and being, you know, being grateful, having gratitude for what you have.
That's it.
If we learn those four aspects of it, we can learn to figure out how to design our life to go exactly where we want it to be. And then we're literally being an entrepreneur of our own life.
Right. I like what you said about not necessarily making millions or billions your goal, but choosing things that are more substantive, like the 2 weeks of vacation. So then you work backwards. This is what I want. How do I get it?
You exactly.
know, so you actually work backwards, not just the money, because the money by itself
is nothing.
There's some song about money wiggling or jiggling or something like that. But it's what that money can actually buy for you, you know?
Yeah.
It can buy you 2 weeks off. It can buy you the time to spend with family and friends. Absolutely. So maintaining a healthy work-life balance can be challenging, especially for newer entrepreneurs. How have you personally approached this balance, and what tips or strategies do you recommend for others in achieving a, you know, harmonious integration of work and personal life? And that doesn't necessarily mean every day on Wednesday I'm going to go to the spa, but overall balance in your life.
Yeah. So I don't believe in work-life balance. I don't think it exists. It is mm-hmm. impossible. We can't be 100% to every aspect of our lives because
right.
we can't. So, but I believe in work-life loading. So, you know, there are allotments. There are days that I'm 100% committed to my kids. There are days that I'm 100% committed to work. There are days that I'm 100% committed to me. You know, there are times where I'm on vacation and I'm like, these 4 days, I'm doing nothing. And then the first 2 hours of each day, I'll do a little bit of work.
Right.
It's about figuring out how to load your days to what's priority. It's really based on my priorities. In 2019, when my husband passed away, my priorities were my kids, number one, and getting the business back up and running, number two. I wasn't a priority. I didn't have days off. I didn't go to the spa. I didn't do any of that. I focused on exactly two things. First kids, then work. And that was my entire life. Once I got the business back up and the kids were thriving,
mm-hmm.
I started focusing on me. The kids wanted to go. I'm like, nope, I'm taking a vacation by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about what's priority at the moment and where it needs to be allotted.
Right. So loading your day, prioritizing, focusing on the things high on your priority list, and then, you know, making it work.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Reflecting on your entrepreneurial journey, if you could go back in time and change one thing, I was going to say mistake, but not necessarily a mistake. One thing that maybe in retrospect you thought maybe I could have done that differently, what would it be? And it could be possibly nothing, because I believe we learn. It's only a mistake if we don't learn from it. So are there any things you would have changed?
No, I'm where I am right now because I did exactly everything I did. And I still make mistakes. I made a mistake the other day. I make mistakes every day. I make more mistakes than I have successes. More failures than successes. More mistakes. It's the learning. It's the failing forwards. So I don't have anything I would change because I don't think I'd be where I am right now.
Yeah. Without everything that has happened.
Yeah.
In your life. Absolutely. You know, one of the things I have come to not only think of, but more incorporate into my thinking is that the universe prepares you. It prepares you for what you have to do. You talked about studying law and ending up on trading floor, working in financial. The universe prepares you. I believe because you're CEO right now of companies, different aspects of your background come into
it. Helps. Oh, no, yeah. It helps all the time. It helps. Listen, like you said, the universe prepares you. Had I not quit my job out of nowhere and then started working for the company, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now.
Absolutely. And I'm just thinking at the time your husband passed, you'd be working with him.
4 years, 3 years.
So can you imagine if you had to leave the floor or Wall Street?
I wouldn't have been able to.
Yes. So the universe kind of taps you to get you.
It shoves you.
Kicking the pants out. Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Time has just flown by.
I know.
And, you know, it has been a wonderful conversation. Is there anything that you would like to share with the audience that maybe I did not cover or I didn't ask? Any parting words of wisdom?
No, I think the only thing I would say is we all have passions. We all have wants, desires, etc. Just do what you love and make sure that you're doing it with all your heart and go for it, right? Don't always wait for things. Don't always wait for, you know, something to knock on your door. Go out and knock on that door. It's not all going to come to you. Go out and get it.
Go out and get it. Don't wait for it to come to you. Go get it. So in today's episode, our guest, Sajala Kamipat's journey as a resilient entrepreneur and leader is truly inspirational. Your story reminds us to show up for ourselves and for others. So thank you for sharing your grit with us today. And until next time, take care.
Thank you.
So that's it for today's episode of Woman of Grit. Thank you for joining us and don't miss the next episode in 1 week. And while you're waiting, you can catch up on previous episodes of our podcast on your favorite listening platforms, which you can access from our website, womanofgritpodcast.com. While on the website, you can learn more about today's guest and all our previous guests. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and rate the show to help us reach more listeners so we can continue bringing you these incredible stories of women who have overcome challenges with grit and determination. Thank you for your support, and until next week, remain ever gritful and never quit. It's always darkest before dawn, but light comes in the morning. Take care.